You are listening to 91.5 FM. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on this terrific Tuesday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. We pray that you are having a blessed and glorious day. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're going to spend the next half hour with you here talking about the Word of God, and we're going to be launching into our next study theme here in just a moment. We're going to be in John, the 13th chapter. So as you are preparing for that, I'd like to say thank you today to the folks of Treasure Your Landscape, Dan and Treasure and Heaven and their team. They have a great passion for what they do. They love Jesus. They're friends of the Refresh Radio program. Treasure Your Landscape is a family business. It's licensed and insured. It's been based in Brevard County for over 20 years now. They have a full array of products that you can avail yourself of, whether it is artificial turf or putting green or landscaping services, paver installation. That's how I came to meet them. They also resodded my yard and worked on my irrigation system. They replanted some things and planted new things. They've landscaped out in front of our church. They installed a putting green at our church. So one of the only churches around that I know of that has an artificial turf and putting green. They have landscape lighting, water features. They do the design, the planning, the maintenance. If any of that interests you, they can transform your outdoor area into a place your family will treasure. Their phone number is 321-749-1432. If you want an eyes-on look at what they do, there's two ways that you can go about that. One is you could come to Merritt Assembly of God at 165 North Grove Street, and we can show you all of the great things that they've done. They've done a number of things that helped us solve a rust problem that was getting on our church and from our irrigation system. They solved that problem for us, and they also have landscaped the front of our church. And so that's one way you could see it. The other way is to drive up to Space Coast Nursery, which is north of the Barge Canal here on Merritt Island, 3880 North Courtney Parkway. It's on the east side of the road, pretty much right across from Sunset Lake Subdivision. They are open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Their phone number there is 321-452-5565. And if you're looking to make 2026 cause your outdoor area to be a lot more user-friendly, a lot more inviting for you to spend time out there, this is a great time of year to do that so you can enjoy it for several months before the heat gets here. So thank you to Dan Treasure and Heaven and their team. So today we're going to be in John chapter 13. We're going to be talking about, we've talked about praise and prayer. Today we are going to touch on something that is very, very basic. It's very important, and we're going to dive into it. It's not just going to be, you know, superficial or anything like that, but we're going to talk about today that followers of Jesus love. Followers of Jesus love. It's not something that is on God's buffet bar that you can choose to pass on or anything like that. It is something that is supposed to be one of the defining characteristics of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to start with you today in John chapter 13, verse number 31. And it says there, "So when he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately.' Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, this is verse number 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one or love for one another. So it is love here, the agape, unconditional love of God, is also supposed to be on display in the lives of his followers. And Jesus puts it very strongly. He says it's a new commandment, and the love is supposed to be of the same nature as the way that Christ has loved us. Verse number 35 says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So it's not supposed to be something that is just represented in a few believers. It's not optional. It is a commandment, and it is supposed to be a mark of distinction for believers. And, you know, love in its purest God-given form is something that is awfully hard to reject. It should be. The problem is that we don't always do a great job reflecting or embodying the same type of love that Jesus had. I've met people, and I have this statement. It's like, you know, their next act of mercy will be their first one. They're not exactly the easiest people to be around. I don't know if you've ever been around someone that's a little bristly. They're not easy to be around. But as we dive into this subject matter of loving the way that Jesus loved, you will see that even people who are not easy to love are still loved by God. The Bible talks about that God loved us even when we were hostile towards him, even while we were his enemies, while we were fighting against him. His love for us was still a driving force in his life. And so the love for Christians, Jesus said, that's how people are going to know you're my disciples. Not if you can preach well. Not if you, you know, have a huge bank account. It really boils down to, if you are truly following me, you are going to be people who love one another. That's the second aspect of the commandment. The first part of the commandment is a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So Jesus would say this when asked what the greatest commandment was. He would say that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. So it is, you don't have to go far in chapter 13 to see that Jesus not only talked about love, it was more than an emotion. It was an action. So our theme for 2026, besides being a blessing, is let's get moving. Let's get moving, that God has placed us where he wants us so that we will reach out for him, so that we will find him, that in him we live and move and have our being. And so that's what we want to do. We want to be representatives of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is always moving forward. It's never in retreat. It's always moving forward. So if you go back up to chapter 13, it says in verse number 1, Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, or he loved them to the uttermost. And then he took a wash basin and a towel, and he went around and he washed the disciples' feet. It was something that was a task assigned to the lowest level of servant activities. It was something one of them should have actually done for everybody else in the room, but they were too busy arguing about which one was going to be the greatest and who was going to sit where and all of that sort of stuff. And Jesus said, look, the time has come. And he knew who he was. He knew where he had come from. He knew where he was going. And though that sense of awareness, that sense of confident assurance that was his, enabled him to love in the most humbling of circumstances. There are some people who think that there are activities that are beneath them. You will not find that attitude in the greatest individual in all of existence, and that's Jesus. You think that this love to the uttermost is something, well, how could you get any greater demonstration than that? And I will tell you that he took it a step further, and he took on the form of a servant who died for our sins while he was on the cross. That was an act of love. And love, you know, the word passion, a lot of times people think of an emotional, you know, turbocharge that is operating through your system, that's passion. The word passion actually talks about suffering. The Passion of the Christ, the movie from, you know, 15 or 20 years ago, actually is about the suffering of Christ. That he was willing to undergo so that you and I could be reconciled to God, transformed from enemies of God to children of God. So this love is not just emotional. It's not just philosophical. It is an action. And so we're going to talk about some of those things, and it's going to be a little bit of a journey here. I want to take you over towards the end of the New Testament and take you to the book of 1 John. So if you come to 2 Peter and you turn right a few pages, you will come to the book of 1 John. We're going to be in chapter 4, and it says here in verse number 7. So 1 John 4, verse number 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a very hard word to say. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. I'm just going to go ahead and read all the way through the end of chapter 4 here before we start going through this. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So if you remember back in John chapter 13, it was spoken of that it was a commandment. So for us to love is a commandment from God. I've got a pastor friend, Pastor Mark Burney, of River of Life, and he made this statement years ago. I think it was something that he had heard, and it was a statement that says this: where there is much law, there is little love. And where there's much love, there's not much law. And the point of the statement is this, that the closer we get to God's goal of love, it becomes something that God has written on our heart. So we live the lifestyle of a godly love, a love for God, a love for the children of God, and a love for those that God wants to be the children of God. So why do we have so many laws on the books in America? It is because America has migrated further away from the heart of God, and we are trying to mandate brotherly love, and we're trying to enforce that through the legal system. And I will tell you, that doesn't work. Here in this passage, we see on a couple of different occasions that God is love. It says that in verse number 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And then down in, I believe it is, let's see if I can, it's in verse number 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Now, here's what I would like to tell you. You cannot separate love from God. He's the source. So the further we move away as an individual, as a family, as a country, the further we move away from God, the less love there is going to be that we see in our eyes. So why are there wars and rumors of wars? Why is there so much civil unrest? And you can point your finger at this and you can point your finger at that, but I would tell you that the root cause is that people have moved away from their relationship with God, and God is love. So the enemy can offer a counterfeit. He can offer infatuation. He can offer lust. But he cannot offer love. Love is embodied in God. So it says here, God is love. As I was praying last night before I came in to share this message, I had an interesting image that went through my head. And there's this scale It's the way that things used to be weighed. And so it used to be if you wanted to buy a pound of something, you had a standardized weight that was a pound, and you put that on one side of this fulcrum, and on the other side, you just kept adding the wheat or the grain that you were buying or the meat that you were buying until it said, okay, those two things balance out now. And so whenever you had an equal disbursement on the fulcrum, then you knew you had a just transaction. Well, the Bible talks about there were people who carried around different scales. So if they were buying something, they would use a heavier stone, and so they got more material. Then when they were selling something, they would use a lighter stone, so that when they dispersed it, they were actually giving away less than the person who was doing the buying at that end was getting taken advantage of. And so God says he hates unjust transactions. So that's the principal concept of a fulcrum, that the two sides weigh out. Well, the reason that I tell you about that is because many people have confused God as love and replaced it with love as God. And not only have they inverted the principles, but they have done so and redefined love not according to God's standards, God's definition, what are things that are clearly spelled out in the Word of God, but they've redefined love as, you know, whoever, whenever, however, and there's no boundaries. There's no rules. And the truth of the matter is, God loves us enough to provide us with things that are going to be beneficial for us, things that are holy. I'm looking forward to going to heaven, not because of the mansions, the streets of gold, or the crystal sea, the no more sorrow, the no more death. And all of those are wonderful, but they're secondary, because the real reason I want to go to heaven is because I love God and I'm going to get to spend eternity with him. That's the reason. Why do we tell people about the alternative to heaven, which is an eternity in the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels? We warn them about that because we love them, and that's not what they were created for. It is a place of misery because you weren't created to exist in that environment. So the reason I mentioned that about the fulcrum is I had this image of this, not a two-sided fulcrum, but a multiple-sided fulcrum, because too many people have simplified it and just, you know, like I said, they've inverted the statement to say love is God, when actually it is God is love, and that's their sole weight of determination. But they forget that God is love, God is holy. So those two things are not, I come from an agrarian part of the country. It's not a silo where you say, okay, this is isolated here, and then you don't have to deal with the holiness. God loves because God is holy. The cross was meant to enable us to be redeemed so we could be holy, so we could experience and thrive in the presence of God. God is love. So don't forget, yes, God is love, but God is also holy. And so the fulcrum stays balanced. He's 100% love. He's also 100% holy. He's 100% truth. He's 100% omnipotent. He's 100% all-knowing. And so in my mental picture that I had going on was this multifaceted fulcrum where God is 100% love, 100% just, 100% truth, 100% life. He is 100% holy and omnipotent. He is 100% everything the Bible describes him to be. It's not that it's partial. He is 100% wisdom, 100% knowledge. And so that picture should give us a much better understanding of what God means here when he's talking about the love of God and that we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to do so, but by biblical means and biblical definitions. You can use biblical vernacular, but if you've changed the definition of the terms, you don't mean the same thing that God means. So if you go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you something that is unpleasant to hear, like, okay, this is what the diagnosis is, and you didn't want to hear that diagnosis, you don't get mad at the doctor. You say, you know what? I'm thankful that I know that, so now I can address the situation and get it resolved. I like to resolve issues. I told someone I don't really want to wrestle with a alligator, but if I had to, I want it to be a baby. And believe me, they can still bite and do some damage. I don't want to mess with them at all. I'm going to be very, very careful about that. I want to deal with the sin areas of my life because God loves me enough to point out those areas, and he doesn't want me suffering harm. So we'll dive into 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 here tomorrow. Love is of God. So I want to close out with this thought. If you're struggling in your relationships, if you're not experiencing a driving love for other people and for God in your life, you need to look in your spiritual mirror and say, am I right with God? Because if God is living in me in abundance, I'm going to want to love him, and I'm going to want to love other people the way he commanded me to. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.